Well, today is a pretty special day for me because I have this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to baptize my only daughter. Joanna is asking to be baptized out of an old life of serving herself and into a new life of serving Jesus. And I'm so excited about this. Joanna, you are making a choice that lasts longer than any other choice that you can make. Longer than your choice of who to marry. You ever think about that? People think your wedding is the biggest day of your life. Well, what you do in baptism lasts even longer than that. It lasts longer than choosing which school to go to do the job that you think you'll do for the rest of your life. It's even bigger than that. So I'm going to speak to everyone about what it means to live for Jesus, but then I'm going to come back and talk to Joanna especially, okay? So it's kind of cool how it worked out that Joanna would be baptized on the day that we were already going to talk about baptism in our study of John's Gospel. And as we're going to read today, there are really two different kinds of baptism. In other words, there's two different things you can be baptized with, according to the Bible. Can somebody help me out? Water. What's the other thing we can be baptized with? The Spirit, right? We're going to hear both of those referred to in our gospel reading this morning. But just before we go to talking about water and Spirit baptism, I want to talk about another word. And that word is remain. Remain. So let's pick up where we left off in the Gospel of John in chapter 1, verse 24. Now the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him. That is, questioned John the Baptist, asking, "Why then do you baptize if you're not the Messiah, and you're not Elijah, and you're not the prophet?" John replied, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. He's the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." Now this all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him," John says, "but the reason I came baptizing with water was so that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony, "I saw the Spirit come down from the heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one." So remember last week, we learned that John the Baptist's whole mission in life was to pave the way to Jesus. John's job was to help other people know who Jesus is. Can you imagine how exciting it might have been for John that moment when he finally actually got to see the Messiah? He got to see Jesus? Now, it may not have been the first time that John and Jesus had ever met. As some of you may remember, they were actually related. They were cousins of some kind, right? But whether John knew that Jesus was the Messiah, we don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But from what he said to the people, maybe he didn't know up before this moment, because he says in verse 33, "I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.'" So the main sign that God gave John to watch for was an appearance of the Holy Spirit. But it wasn't just a momentary appearance. It was a remaining presence, or in some of the old translations, an abiding presence. Have you ever heard that word before, abide? What does abide mean? It's kind of an old-fashioned word. It actually comes from another word, abode. You ever heard somebody say, "Welcome to my humble abode"? They're talking about their home. They're talking about a house. An abode is a home, a place where someone stays for a long time. A hotel is not an abode because you don't stay there for very long. but your house is an abode. And from that word, we get the word abide. And here in the NIV translation of the Bible, they chose to use a more modern word because they didn't know that you'd know what abide meant. So they say remain. According to John the Baptist, the Messiah was a person whom the Holy Spirit would not only land on, but also abide with or remain on. John only saw one person that the Holy Spirit chose to make a permanent home with, and that was Jesus. For the Spirit, Jesus was not just a visitation. It was a habitation. In Jesus, the Spirit is there to stay. I want you to remember that for later. Let's talk about these two kinds of baptism now. Water baptism and Spirit baptism. John said that he was baptizing people with water. And this water baptism was a physical sign of a person's decision to bury their old life. Some people may not know this, but Jewish people practiced baptism before Christians did. Did you know that? It's not a fundamentally Christian thing. But Jews would baptize Gentile people. That means non-Jewish people, but who the Jews considered to be unclean to the core. So if you were a non-Jewish person, but you said, I want to serve your God, I want to be like one of you, they'd say, well, you're so corrupted, we got to start from scratch. So we're going to bury you alive, and you're going to start fresh as a Jewish person. Okay, that's the background. Now imagine the surprise of these Jewish people. Everybody around John the Baptist at this point is Jewish. Jewish people watching when John the Baptist came along and said, guess what? Even you Jews aren't clean or holy enough for the king that I'm here to tell you about. If you want to be a part of his kingdom, even you need to be buried and start again. But then John went on to explain that there was another baptism that would happen when that king came, that he would baptize not with water, but with the Holy Spirit. Now, this was something totally new for the people. And I don't mean that the Holy Spirit was new to people. They knew about that. The Holy Spirit is in the Old Testament lots of times. But God sends his Spirit to help people, lots of different people, do lots of different things back in the Old Testament stories. Usually, it was to give the person some kind of supernatural power, either physical strength, like in the case of Samson, or maybe the case of David fighting Goliath, or maybe it's a special kind of a knowledge, you know, the ability to predict something that's going to happen in the future, those kinds of things. But the Spirit never made a permanent home with any of them. So when John tells the people that the Messiah was the Holy Spirit's abode, that the Holy Spirit was going to live in this king, people knew that this was going to get exciting. The Messiah would be like Samson plus David plus Elijah and every other Bible hero all rolled into one. But now imagine what it might have meant to those first disciples when John the Baptist said that the Messiah was going to baptize other people with that same Spirit. Now that is a pretty amazing thought. Can you imagine a whole bunch of people walking around with the power and authority and Spirit of God? They would turn the world upside down. And they did, didn't they? The early church transformed the Roman Empire and moved so fast and so totally that the Roman Empire realized if we can't beat them, we better join them. They tried to suppress Christianity, but it grew so fast and so enthusiastically that they said, if we don't become Christian, Christianity is going to take over everything anyway. If you can't beat them, join them. That's what the power of the Holy Spirit did in the early church. And we could do it again, folks. We could do that again. Are we doing that? Are we the Christians of Bonnyville? Are we game changers in our community? If this verse in Romans 8 is right, this one I've been reading that says that the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead lives in me and you, why is our life so stinking ordinary? You ever wonder that? The answer is, because we do not abide in that Spirit which abides in us. Remember that word abide again? It means to remain all the time, to stay. Now, when Jesus saved you, he placed his spirit to abide in you and never leave you. Jesus is always going to be faithful. He doesn't come and go. However, he doesn't keep us from leaving him. He just asks, stay, remain, abide. Listen to Jesus' own words in John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. And then he kind of repeats himself. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now let me ask you something, because we may miss this. In fact, I think I missed this for a number of years. Is there anything in there that says, you better remain in me or I won't remain in you? You read that up there? You have an unconditional promise for Jesus to be faithful to you. If you're saying, my life is so ordinary, or man, I feel 100 miles away from God right now, it's not because he is 100 miles away from you. It is because in your focus, you have departed from him. I want everyone to listen to these words as if he was speaking right to you right now. In verse 3, Jesus is saying that you are already clean because of the word he's spoken to you. If you are a Christian, that means Jesus has made you clean. That means there is no good work that you need to do to become a child of God. Or as Jesus says it in John 6:29, the work of God is this, to believe in the one that he sent. You got one job in this equation, believe. There is nothing you can do to save yourself by your effort. Your only part in the salvation is to just believe that he's really saved you. But Jesus saved you for a reason, so that you could glorify God with your good works. Or as Jesus says it again in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Paul says a similar thing in a different way. He says that when you become a new creation through Jesus, you are meant to work for his glory. Later on in the service, we're going to baptize Joanna, and we will declare, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Behold, everything has become new. And that's going to be true of any of us who are truly Christians. But Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, that means born again, becoming a new creation, in order to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, I want to be clear here. You cannot save yourself with good works. But if you do not have good works after you are saved, you are not saved. Because that is what Christ in you will provoke you to do. God is on a mission to save his world. And God is not sitting still. So if his children want to be with their father, they need to be moving where he moves. When we get baptized, we are saying that we believe Jesus loves us and wants to be with us. That is an amazing and an unconditional truth. Nothing you can do will change the fact that Jesus loved you so much that he died that horrible death just so that you could be with him. But once you accept that, Jesus says that there has to be a daily choice. Not once when you get baptized, but daily. Jesus chose once and for all to remain in you, but you need to choose daily to remain in him. If you don't, your life is going to be wasted as far as God is concerned. I'm not talking about saved or not saved here. I'm saying you will not have lived the life that God saved you to live. So here it is once again from Jesus' words. John 15, 4 and 5. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. You know, this might be a little bit of a scary analogy, but have you ever heard of a gold digger? Have you ever, hear me out here. You ever heard of somebody marrying another person just for their inheritance? It's sad to say, but there are actually men and women who would marry an old, lonely person with the expectation, dare I say the hope, that the person will soon die and leave them a bunch of wealth. This might sicken us to think of, but I'm afraid that some of us may have begun our relationship with Jesus a little bit like this. Somebody scared us half to death with the promise of hell for anybody who doesn't give their life to Jesus. And they told us, if you'll just say yes to Jesus' kind offer, we'll have a share in his inheritance at the end. But we basically live in the bedroom down the hall, making casual talk with Jesus when we're either really bored or really scared or really broke or something. And we're really only touching base with him on Sundays when we need something. We are basically spiritual gold diggers. When Jesus is calling out and saying, I want to share my inheritance with you, but I was sort of hoping that you might love me a little bit in this life as much as I love you. Couldn't we maybe talk a bit more? Jesus would ask. Couldn't we spend a little time together? If this idea kind of hits you in the face, it's not too late to join our church renewal breakfast club on Tuesdays, because that's really what this is all about. Learning to abide with Jesus, to share our home with him. All right, Joanna, now I'm going to talk to you. Today you are declaring that you believe that the Holy Spirit has already come to abide with you. Because Ephesians 1 says, that having believed, we were marked with the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing what's to come. So if you believe in Jesus sincerely from your heart, then the Holy Spirit is already there. But he doesn't just want to come once. He wants to remain on you just like he did when Jesus was baptized. So when you go into that water, you are saying that you want to remain in him too. And if you will do that, if you will abide with Jesus day by day, Joanna, God is going to use you to do amazing things. You are going to have the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And I know because you know the song. You know what all of those are. Love and joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You'll have all those things growing in your life. You will also have gifts the Spirit. Now, that's pretty exciting. You will have gifts like the gift of mercy, the ability to give and give yourself to other people and not begrudge them anything. You will have perhaps the gift of giving, generosity. You'll have the gift of serving, maybe even the gift of healing. And there's lots of ways to be used to heal people spiritually and emotionally and even physically with miracles. Maybe you will speak in tongues. I've never spoken in tongues, but maybe that will be you. Maybe God will give you that gift. Maybe you will do miracles. All of those things are in you because the Spirit is in you. But how much of these spiritual things that you experience are going to depend on how much you choose to abide or remain with Jesus? So, Joanna, I want you to decide in your heart today that starting right now at age 8, you will take some time each day to read your Bible. I know you're already doing that, and that's great. I want you to keep doing that. I also want you to take some time to talk to God and wait for him to talk to you. He wants to talk to you too. Some of us old people have missed out on years of abiding with Jesus. And because of that, sad to say, but we didn't grow all the fruit that Jesus wanted to grow in us. That's why some of us joined this Church Renewal Breakfast Club, so that we could break some of our old habits and learn what it is to abide with Jesus. We need to change the way we live. Joanna, you're so young, and you have most of your life still ahead of you, and you could surpass all of us. I'm so excited because Joanna is already doing a lot of these things that, frankly, I did not do when I was 8 years old. I didn't. She's got a huge jump on me. And if she will continue to remain in Jesus every day, she might produce more fruit than any of us. Wouldn't that be exciting? So, Joanna, Jesus has already given you a new life. Are you ready to publicly promise to walk in that new life by being baptized? You ready? All right. Are you changed already? Oh, you're so speedy. Okay, well, you know what to do, but we were gonna do a song to give her some time to change. So we're still gonna do that song. I'll call the music team up. It's a great song to get us all in the place of remembering maybe the day that we were baptized. And maybe some of you have not made that decision, but you're saying, what's holding me back? What's holding me back? And this song is about making that declaration. I am ready.